Sagittarius, and welcome to your 2014 Spring Report. My name is Eric Francis, friend of the Centaurs, here to tell you a bit about your astrology in the capacity of interpreter and as collaborator, someone here to perhaps help you seed or focus your vision. You, of course, are the one who is making the decisions. And what a profound moment this is. Seems like you're poised right on the brink of some huge transition. And that is coming across as one inner change after the next. And yet you may be asking yourself where this is all going. Sagittarius has a focus in the Grand Cross, Grand Trine situation for two major reasons that I can see. One of them, starting with classical astrology, is that the ruler of Sagittarius, Jupiter, every planet, every sign has a primary planet that rules it. And I prefer to start with the classical planets. So Jupiter is the classical ruler of Sag, and it is in the sign Cancer. That is your eighth house. Eighth house by whole sign houses, if you are Sagittarius rising. Eighth house by solar houses, if you are Sag sun. Eighth house is the house of transformation. In the old school astrology, death, dowry, and the substance of the bride. Okay. Death and dowry, meaning the primarily associated with the exchange of resources. So the eighth house is like this gigantic exchange. It's this place where we encounter what you might think of as the human marketplace, whether that be what we share with other people, the resources that we share with other people, the sex we share with other people, the intimacy, the secrets, and also the shared financial arrangements we have with other people. And Jupiter, which has a very powerful role in the Grand Cross, Grand Trine scenario, is in the eighth house. The implication here is that you are in the process of discovering your worth, and you're also discovering how not to sell your soul. And I would say they're very similar things, because the people who don't discover their worth are more likely to sell the one thing that does seem to have some value, which is their soul, which, you know, is ill-advised. You can't usually get it back once you hawk that thing. And you don't need to go there. What Jupiter in the eighth can represent is a favorable environment for exchange and for advancing your value in the world and for showing up in people's lives as a presence that they value. Someone basically who is needed. And that will work beautifully if you do the one main thing that you've got to do with a strong eighth house placement, which is learn how to keep a hold of yourself. Learn how not to just give yourself away, to lose yourself completely. And this is challenging because there is so much losing yourself completely that we are basically conditioned and trained and flogged into doing in our relationships. And we don't really have much of a model of relationship that is anything else. There's not a what you might think of as the even exchange model or the mutual value model. We give lip service to that, but in the end, we tend to engage in situations that are basically some form of dominance and submission. And the only way out of that dominance and submission model is to attain some self-mastery. This is attained over a lifetime. doesn't generally happen all at once, though there are those moments where you make these sweeping claims on yourself and take back everything that you've given away and often make a resolution that that's the last time that's happening. And the challenge with Sagittarius is, though you don't read this in astrology books, how emotional Sagittarius is, how sappy, basically, how much there is a need to have intimacy of a kind that is warm and cozy, sign Cancer. And that often involves sexual exchange, and then that in turn leads to a diversity of other karmic involvements, such as pregnancy and money exchange and things like that. And so what you want to do is keep an eye on those commitments as they tend to make themselves one after the next and get that whole process out of automatic mode. And as you do that, and as you go through that ongoing journey, there is your deeper journey of acknowledging the real value you have to others and choosing to associate with people only on the basis of whether they respect the value that you are to them. Could call this an exercise in self-esteem. That shows up in your chart because Pluto is opposite Jupiter for this event and has been in a long opposition pattern to Jupiter since the middle of last year. Pluto has been kind of burning its way through your second house of self-esteem since 2008. So I would mark your calendar and consider that since 2008, you've been on a special path of focusing on self-esteem, a special path of throwing off the fetters of the past that gave you a kind of a cheap or stingy concept of self-esteem. And in the process of that, driving a kind of independence. And I would note that independence in our society is very closely related to financial independence. Most of, though not all of, the ties that bind people either involve money or have money as an excuse. And in order to be free in the practical sense in our culture, I don't necessarily mean like, you know, Charles Manson saying, all you people are walking around the world and you think you're free, but you're really in prison. And I'm in prison, but I'm free. I don't mean that. I mean free in the pragmatic sense of the concept, the ability to make choices that might require the allocation of resources. You have to have some resources. And so there is something of a journey, experiment, experience, drama, combining Pluto in the second house and Jupiter in the eighth, where you are exploring, claiming, experimenting with that independence and looking for the ways in which you need to become basically sufficiently independent of contractual obligations to others to be able to live your life and make some choices that you want to make. A friend of mine who's a Sagittarius was involved in a partnership that he figured out was really cramping his style, and that partnership contained agendas that were worthy of their own, but not his agendas. And so he got out of the agreement. And I would add on that note that any agreements that you do get into in this time of your life would be better if they are the easy in, easy out agreements. That is to say, contracts with an exit clause where you cannot basically be enslaved by an agreement that you made when that agreement no longer is serving you and therefore would no longer be serving the people with whom you have the association. Not everyone knows better than to just let go. And so that's why the contract has to have the ability to get out of it. Maybe some profound temptations to get married for some Sagittarians under this astrology. I would rate the marriage contract as the original contract lacking the easy in, easy out. It's certainly easy enough to get in, go to Las Vegas, get a marriage license, and Elvis marries you. Then try to get out. It's not that easy. And so while you're questioning your drive and motivation for independence, and while you're experimenting with ways to be independent, I would suggest putting marriage on the list of things that are up for a rigorous spiritual and legal investigation. Gaining an understanding of what this is, why people do it, looking at the actual damage that is done by this contract. Note, I'm not a romantic. I do believe in love. I do believe in lifelong abiding love and domestic love and all of those things. I also believe in scrutinizing contracts and understanding the motives of the contract, the intent of the parties, and studying the outcomes. As an astrologer, I've spent nearly 20 years looking at the outcomes of marriage, because easily half of my clients have come in just as their marriage is about to hit the ground. And I think that everyone needs to have a realistic perspective about this. I'm not against marriage per se, but I'm against the abuse of, or the frivolous use of, the contract. And this expands into all facets of your life, all contractual agreements, be they a lease or car payments or a loan of some kind or a mortgage or a reverse mortgage. What is the nature of the contract? What is the nature of the agreement? And to what extent does it support or hold down your ability to cultivate your own independence? Now, this Pluto moving through Capricorn is pretty radical as a second house transit. It is extremely radical because there is no deeper symbol in astrology that I can think of that says, I am going to be my own person. And that means having your own resources, which you, by all indications, would do absolutely fine with. It's not as big of a deal as it seems. If you're not able to make the money that you want or that you need, then you need to make a business plan. The business plan needs to include what you have to offer and what you're willing to do with it and who the customers are and where the money is going to come from. You've got to think that all through. It's not enough to be idealistic. And in life, we need a business plan. And Pluto in Capricorn in the second is saying, get a business plan. It's also saying, understand what your resources are. And it's a very potent reminder to concentrate your resources, to make sure that you make the investment in gaining the knowledge that you need. Astrology students these days seem to think it's shocking, or many of them, that they have to buy books and pay for things. Unless you just feel like reading various websites, you know what I'm saying? You have to make the investment in yourself on an ongoing basis. If you are in some profession or trade, make sure that the tools of your trade don't get in the way of what you're doing, but rather give you the ability to do what you are doing better. And remember that there is a significant reinvestment process, that taking profits out is not the kind of thing that can be done immediately in most cases. And I would add one other thing while we're talking about independence and self-sufficiency, especially on the financial level, that while you're developing the thing that you know you really want to do the most people find that it's helpful to have some sort of a money gig, a way to apply their talents that just happens to be the thing that people want or that people need the most, rather than necessarily the very thing they want to do the most, then there's an association between them, and gradually the balance shifts. I'm not so sure about this do what you love and you'll get rich thing, because there's so much. I haven't seen it happen that many times. And also, there seems to be a translation process or a negotiation process from getting to the thing that, you know, that works and provides resources to the thing that you love to do the most. And I think that the key to this is not having the money gig dominate your life, not be a 50-hour, 40-hour, even 30-hour-a-week thing. Try to find a 10-hour-a-week thing that is able to provide a source of funding. That can require real self-study and self-confidence, because that 10-hour gig may need to be the $100-an-hour gig that you would never in your entire life think was worth $100. But you're going to find where to do it. So I advocate being extremely practical about money, and one of the most interesting things about Sagittarius charts is that you have Capricorn on the house of your resources. That is to say that Sagittarius is, from an astrological standpoint, inherently practical about business and money. So there's no wishy-washy idealism here, and if there is, you might want to just save it for some other time, or make sure you at least feed your dreams, but you will succeed based on your practical approach to business and to money. And with Pluto going through Capricorn, now's the time. Now, you may think Pluto moves really slowly. It's going to be in Capricorn till 2023. That's a damned eternity. It's 9 more years, 10 more years. No, now. Pluto's here now. Get the information now. Read the books you need. Hang out with successful people. Learn everything you can. If you're someone who struggles with abundance, study people who make money. Study the assholes who rip everyone else off, like Monsanto, and study the people who are sheer genius at it and provide something amazing, like Fleischer's Butcher Shop across the street from my house, which manages to create something that is completely wholesome, assuming one is a meat eater. And that is to say, they do this whole locally sourced, grass-fed thing, and they're connecting farmers to customers. And at the same time, the owner of the shop found his passion, which I guess used to be video games. And now he's reclaimed his heritage as a butcher. Great-grandfather or somebody, great-great-granddaddies were butchers. And he's claimed that heritage. It took work, it took planning, it took maturity. That's Capricorn. And now is the time to work and flex that evolutionary muscle. Now, I mentioned the emotional nature of Sagittarius as being one of these things that's, you know, really a strong factor in the sign Sagittarius that is not typically associated with Sagittarius, is this profound sensitivity, this nostalgic quality, this need to feel safe in a soft place, because despite your, you know, Sagittatitude, really are a very soft being on the inside. And this is being enhanced astrologically by an alignment that in some ways is playing a secondary role in the Grand Cross, but it is part of the Grand Trine, and that is a cluster of planets in Pisces. And Pisces is your fourth house. Pisces is the place in your chart where we look on this little map of consciousness about seeking security, seeking safety and grounding. What we find out is that this region of your consciousness is all about emotional grounding. word grounding is used a lot. Let's take a different word. Contact. Being open to your feelings. Sag is one of the easier signs to sort of pretend that this isn't true. Pisces is a Jupiter-ruled sign. Sagittarius is a Jupiter-ruled sign. Sometimes with Sag and Pisces, it seems like six of one, half a dozen of the other, so you might as well just take the Sagittarius part and troop around the world with your bow and arrow and not worry too much about feelings, but the thing is they always catch up with you. And with four planets gathered in Pisces right now, well, five plus I discovered Arachnes, and there are probably a few others. Oh, look at that little Miss Pandora. Let's add her to the chart. Oh, little Miss Hebe. Pisces is a very busy sign right now. And initially, early in the sign, where you're going to pick it up the most palpably, it's busy with two centaurs, Nessus and Chiron, which are accentuating the need for emotional healing. And Nessus in particular is accentuating the need for trust, the trust of existence, and the trust of the emotional content of sex, which is one of the most challenging endeavors on the whole planet. Neptune, which is creating both a sense of fullness, a sense of isolation, a sense of vulnerability, and potentially some potential for self-delusion. And so while we're on the subject of Neptune, I would be mindful of any situation wherein you know that you are medicating your pain in any way. Neptune can represent a whole diversity of substances, but typically it's most associated with alcohol, which is the most available drug. It is not usually considered a drug, but something is what its purpose is, and if its purpose is to medicate or to avoid, that's something I would suggest being careful of, because it can suppress the essential healing power that you have with Nessus and Chiron present in the fourth house. But together, these all are begging and burning and pushing the question of when really do you feel safe? And when you don't feel safe, are you able to notice that fact? Can you admit to yourself that you don't feel safe in a certain environment? How dramatic or bad or whatever do things need to get before you are able to make contact with the fact that, very simply, you don't feel safe? And then what do you do? Now, the fourth here in your chart, Pisces, is an extremely intriguing little zone. There's a lot going on. And that lot going on is connected to a lot else that is going on. And in parallel with what's going on in Pisces is something of a centerpiece of the sky right now, even though it is neither in a cardinal sign, like the Grand Cross, nor in a water sign, like the Grand Trine, and it is basically out of aspect with all of the planets except for one, Saturn, that are influencing these times we're living in, yet the focus in Sagittarius is once again one of the most gorgeous gems in the sky. And here is where we tap into something that is one of the most profound assets of Sagittarius, which is your connection to the beyond, your connection to all that is true about existence that is not exactly obvious in the workaday world on Earth. And I will say that it is worth investing your energy and your time and your money into healing right now. It is worth not getting caught in the past and your emotional dramas and any regrets that you might have about the past or any sense of being emotionally wounded, but rather the combination of factors in Pisces and in Sagittarius are saying that this would be a highly amazingly productive time in your life to focus on healing. I don't know any better way to say it. You will get results. You will get self-understanding. You will emerge in a position of strength and in a position of, in truth, authority over yourself. Now, I could say more about the grand cross that's happening. I'm going to add one other point before I move on to something I haven't really touched on at all in any of the readings up until now, but it's jumping off the page for Sagittarius, and when things jump off the page, it's good to look at what they're saying. Mars is retrograde in Libra. Libra is your 11th house. Mars is in a challenged position being retrograde in Libra. There's a whole diversity of challenges, including many challenging aspects. The fact that Mars is occupying a Venus-ruled sign, the fact that it's retrograde and it really much prefers to be direct. There's an introspection demanded that Mars is not that famous for having. But the 11th house itself is one of the most benefit-filled houses. In many ways, it is the place where we come into most of the great benefits of life. That includes friends. And with Mars retrograde in Libra, it's crucial that you be fully conscious what you consider a friend to be and who you consider a friend. There's no room for being sloppy about this. There are potentially people in your life who are not really your friend, who you consider a friend. And I would suggest that the moment you are able to document something wrong, that you take note of that and that you take action on that. This may seem unforgiving, but if you track the history of the situation, you're likely to find out that this is not the first time that this has happened. And so what I'm encouraging here is with Mars retrograde in the 11th house, that you keep your focus on the people who actually do nourish you, who do provide support, who are contributors and collaborators to your life, and who never betray your trust, ever. Those who play fast and loose with the trust of others deserve a special category. They're not necessarily criminals, though some are, but they're people who would tend to, and who do tend to, destroy the very delicate fabric of trust that may be the only thing that is holding the world in its extremely stressed out state together. And so I'm suggesting here that you not give your trust away easily, that you assess people on whether they are dependable. Trust is not that esoteric of a subject. I mean, the dependability factor is a large part of it. The acting on one's intent, the ability to follow through, the lack of experiences where I try to help you, but oops, I hurt you type of thing. And there is something here about being particularly vigilant in sexual relationships and recognizing the potential for harm in sexual relationships. If you're a man, I really suggest you keep condoms on you at all times. And don't fuck anyone without them. Don't trust that under this astrology. I don't care how much you don't like condoms. If you don't like them that much, then don't have sex. But the possibility of a pregnancy that then leads to a whole series of karmic implications is so vivid in these charts that I would say not only use condoms, make sure that you are an expert at using condoms and that you only have your own condoms, the exactly right kind. Because that is, since you can't get an abortion, It's not your decision. All you can do is prevent that karmic interplay with someone, that karmic interaction, into which you could sacrifice a vast amount of your personal power for the rest of your life. And there may be other little sublime situations where that kind of thing is similar, but as far as I can tell, after 50 years of living on this planet, there is none more profound or palpable or readily available than quote-unquote unplanned pregnancy. And given that we live in an age where, in my opinion, a great many women are entirely reckless with the whole topic of pregnancy and birth control. I don't care what the Rachel Maddow show says about 99% of women being on birth control. That is complete and utter bullshit. You need to take care of yourself. And you need to know when you're in that moment of signing on the dotted line. Okay, so thanks to the certain women in my life, like my grandma Mary and my mom, for impressing that message upon me. You can open up almost any camera bag or computer bag and you'll find a couple of polyurethane condoms, because latex doesn't work for a lot of people. All right, onward from the sex ed rant. Fire signs. You are a fire sign. You thrive on energy and fire signs. Right now, there's a lot of energy in water signs. You have a lot of that in your chart, and it's there to stay for a long time. Nessus, for example, will be in Chiron, Pisces 20 years. Chiron will be in Pisces for another 6-ish years. Neptune, another 12-ish years. Borysici, God knows how long. A lot of water signs in your chart. What is very nice for you, beginning mid-year in July, and then extending into 2015, is that planets start to shift into fire signs. Two of them are extraordinarily significant for you. And this, by the way, is, we just rationalize all that I've said about being cautious around the contracts that you get into. You may not value your freedom so much today, but when these planets move into fire signs, I can pretty much assure you that you will value your freedom a lot more. You will want it. You will crave it. You will start to feel the wideness and spectrum and possibilities of the world and need to explore the world. And your ability to take full responsibility for your life is wholly dependent upon your ability to master your own inner fire. Let's talk about Jupiter first. Jupiter is in your eighth house right now. That's the one where, like, touching anything can be a contract, like the Midas touch. Only it's like suddenly you're involved. It's very sticky karma. But Jupiter, once it's done with this whole Grand Cross shebang, which happens in April, then Mars stations direct on May 19th, and then the spring, Northern Hemisphere spring, winds out, summer begins, and then the event of mid-year is Jupiter changes signs from Cancer to Leo. And that is one of those good for everyone things. I mean, Jupiter in Cancer is lovely, and we're very fortunate to have Jupiter in Cancer for all these festivities of this Grand Cross, Grand Trine. And Jupiter is kind of the hub of the whole wheel because it's the only planet that's both a cardinal, in a cardinal sign and a water sign. And it also is exalted in Cancer. But when Jupiter changes signs to Sagittarius, you are very likely to feel the world is getting larger and you want to go there. And so I would suggest saving your money. I would suggest one by one eliminating needless and unnecessary commitments, paying off debt, making plans, making sure that your lease runs out sometime in the middle of the summer, or kind of having plan B on that, because when Jupiter enters Leo, my impression is that you are going to become the quintessential Sagittarian who only needs a carry-on bag and whatever else you might need, your guitar, your laptop, whatever the hell it might be, and that's it. You're home everywhere. So things may seem deeply entwined right now, but you will have this surge of confidence, this immersion in the true nature of your fiery self. And when you get there, it would be very wise to remember the essential elements of vulnerability that are your contact with your inner humanity. Your vulnerability is what you share in relationships. Your relationship to your vulnerability describes entirely your ability to trust or not trust. And so as you have this surge of outward confidence and the world expands and suddenly there's a seat on every flight and people are offering you tickets, places, and or you're getting invitations to do work internationally, which is quite possible, particularly with Saturn entering your sign in a transition that will take place from late 14 into mid-2015. Keep yourself as footloose as you can. Remind people that you are free and do your best, in my opinion, here, just an advisor, just somebody putting out ideas, not to get into contracts that act as encumbrances that may have effects that last from, you know, tomorrow to 2 or 3 years or now or forever. Stay free. Freedom is something that is attained through a kind of a combination of an offensive and defensive process. The defensive part of freedom is that you mitigate, minimize, shrink back, and snip away at the things that might act as constraints. It's possible to do that and remain emotionally connected to people that will still love you. If someone to whom you say, I need to do my thing and be a free person, treats you in an unloving way, either they're having an issue or it's not the kind of love that you need. The people you need in your life are the ones who say, I love you as a free person. I recognize you are a person of the world with your own independent concept of what it means to be human, what it means to be alive, and what it means to be alive right now. Be you. Do your thing. One last thought on Saturn. Saturn right now is in your 12th house. That's one of the water placements in your chart. It's one of the ways in which I know that Sagittarius is profoundly emotionally vulnerable inside, that you have this, you know, fiery approach to existence and a potentially brassy personality or an independent streak in some way. But deep underneath that is this emotional quality, and Saturn is in there. And Saturn in the 12th can be a bit lonely, and it can be psychically oppressive in a way that you just feel like your karma might be heavy such that you'll never get this airplane off the ground. Saturn in the 12th house in Scorpio is giving you the ability to clear karma, to clear the past, to be able to sweep out those spaces, sweep out those closets. I suggest, just as an exercise, if you have any storage unit, you can, first warm Saturday, pull everything out of it and see what the heck is in there. Throw out a few things and put them back in a more orderly fashion. Heck, get rid of it all. Whatever floats your boat. But what Saturn is suggesting is see what's actually in the closet. Check it out. And other kind of karma clearing or karma type investigating episodes that you can think of. Because it's sort of like, think of Saturn as squeezing out or sweeping out or scraping out the corners of this concealed, hidden, forgotten about realm where karma tends to accumulate. So if you're feeling a certain heaviness, take steps to lighten your load. Get rid of what you don't need. Emotionally get rid of what you don't need. Resolve however you need to do it, whether it's through some form of therapy or art or journaling, past relationships that are still weighing upon you. Because, once again, a planet is entering a fire sign. That would be Saturn. That would be Sagittarius. astrology. If you read astrology books, they may whine about Saturn and Sagittarius and all that. I assure you, Saturn and Sagittarius is very good for Sagittarius because it is the take that thing seriously. Take who you are seriously and put it to practical work and practical application. And here you're blending your first and your second houses because Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, that house I talked about at the beginning, the sign at the beginning about how grants you this pragmatism with business and money. And it's going to, it to me represents a focus on that. It's no longer an abstract thing. Suddenly it's like, okay, I can do this or I can do that. What works better financially? What works better creatively? What works better in terms of where I am in the world? A question that has profound meaning right now for you, where you physically are in the world. I would suggest that be open to question, open to interpretation, with nothing taken for granted about that. Including, you know, you don't need to be within 20 miles of where you were born for your entire life. In fact, it's really good to get like 5,000 miles from there and stay there for a while and see what it's like and see if you even think about the place where you were born. So Saturn coming into Sag, again, that's going to be a transition. And it's going to take a while. Let's just get a quick look at how what those dates are. Using IO Sprite here. Position. Okay, Saturn is going to enter Sagittarius for the first time on 12/23, right after your birthday, right the day after the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. It's then going to go back into Scorpio on, oh no, let me try this again. We don't really need to be thinking about 2041 yet. Okay, I see what I did wrong. Okay, so it enters Sag on 12/23/14. Then it comes back into Scorpio in June. So we get about 5.5 months of Saturn in Sagittarius. That's just a flavor. Okay, then Saturn will proceed retrograde back into Scorpio. This is one of these classic situations where a planet retrogrades between two signs before finally settling into its new sign. And then it re-enters Sagittarius to stay for more than 2 years in September. So the first half of very end of 2014, first half of 2015, give Saturn in your sign, and then after September 17th, 2015, and then Saturn is in Sag to stay until December 20th, 2017. So that is your moment of maturity. I talked about Saturn in one sign in the immediately prior reading, the reading for Scorpio. Now, there's going to be some differences between Saturn in one's own sign, Scorpio, and Saturn in one's own sign, Sagittarius. But it will give you a clue. And remember that Saturn in your chart is the representative of your second house, your values. So if I will leave you with one thought, in case you never hear another one of my readings again, but stay tuned because I'm going to have a lot more to say about this. Saturn in Sagittarius is for you about the embodiment of your deepest values. The things, the activities, the experiences, the quality of life, whatever it is, the reason for existing that you value the very most, Saturn in your sign is about embodying, becoming, expressing that very thing. On that note, I leave you. If you're Sag Sun, don't forget, tune into your rising sign. A pleasure working for you. This has been a very fun way to spend 45 minutes. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll catch you on a different day.